Jnanavahini, Chapter 5. The word Brahmam is derived from the root Bra, meaning to expand, to increase, to enlarge. Brahat means big, enlarge, gross, high. Purusha has its root Pri, meaning to fill, to complete. Pur means a town full of inhabitants, that is to say, the body in a figurative manner of speaking. He who completes or is immanent in or who fills it is the Purusha. The word Atma has as its root Ap, meaning to acquire, to earn, to conquer, to overcome. He who knows the Atma can earn all knowledge, has acquired everything, has earned the knowledge of everything because the Atma is omnipresent. He is then fixed in Sat Chit Ananda, that is, in the embodiment of Brahman. Sat is the essence of Shantam or equanimity. Chit is the essence of Jnanam or wisdom. These and Ananda or bliss together form the Swarupa of Brahman or the embodiment of Brahman. The Taittiriya Upanishad has declared, through Ananda all this is born. Through Ananda all this is living. In Ananda alone all this is merged. In Ananda all this rests. Like the category Brahman, the category Antaratma also is possessed of the same attributes. It is also Ananda born, Ananda full, and Ananda merged. The more the Jnana, the more the awareness of the Ananda. The Jnani has joy or Ananda as his right hand, helpful in all emergencies, and always willing and able to come to his rescue. Bhuma means limitless. The Chandogya Upanishad declares that Ananda inheres only in the Bhuma, the eternal, the Brahman. Again, another word used by Jnanis to describe their experience of Brahman is Jyoti Swarupa, meaning whose nature is splendor, glory, or effulgence, who is illumination itself. 10 million suns cannot equal the splendor of the Paramatma. The word Shanti Swarupa indicates that it is Shanti itself. In Shruti texts like Ayam Atma Shanto, etc., it is proclaimed that Paramatma is Prashanti itself. This is the reason why Paramatma is characterized as eternally pure, eternally intelligent, eternally liberated, eternally illumined, eternally content, eternally conscious, etc. It is wisdom itself, and so it is the embodiment of all teaching. It is not attached to anything, and so it is ever free. When the Brahman is tasted, that very moment all hunger ceases, all desires come to an end, and so it grants contentment. Vijnana is the name given to the actual experience of Brahman. It is a special type of jnana, unlike the common fund of information got from the study of books. The net result of the study of any branch of learning, the fruit of all that study, is also sometimes referred to as Vijnana. The unique jnana of the Brahman is known by a variety of names, like jnana, vijnana, prajnana or supreme wisdom, chit or full knowledge, chaitanya, etc. Chaitanya means pure consciousness. Its opposite is the unconscious or the jada, the inert. The Atma-jnana makes everything conscious, active. Brahman is eternally conscious, Nitya Chaitanya. A jnani will feel that the Atma immanent in everyone is his own Atma. He will be happy that he is himself all this. He will see no distinction between man and man, for he can experience only unity, not diversity. Not the physical differences of color, caste and creed which adhere only to the body. These are but the marks of the external body. The Atma is nishkala, that is to say it has no parts. It is nirmala, blemishless, unaffected by desire, anger, greed, affection, pride and envy. It is nishkriya, activityless. It is prakriti, the sensory world, and not Atma that undergoes modifications, or at least gives the impression that it is modified. The Purusha is but the eternal witness, the ever inactive, the modificationless. Of what can you say this is truth? Only of that which persists in the past, the present and the future, which has neither beginning nor end, which does not move or change, which has uniform form, unified experience-giving property. Well, let us consider the body, the senses, the mind, the life force and all such. They move and change. They begin and end. They are inert, jada. They have three gunas or characteristics, tamas, rajas and sattva. They are without basic reality. They cause the delusion of reality. They have only relative value. They have no absolute value. They shine out of borrowed light only. Absolute truth is beyond the reach of time and space. It is a parichinna, that is, indivisible. It does not begin. It is always and ever existent. It is the basis, the fundamental, the self-revealing. Knowing it, experiencing it, is jnanam. It is anirdeshyam, that is, it cannot be marked out as such and such and explained by some characteristics. How can something that is above and beyond the intellect and the mind be described through mere words? It is also termed adrishya, invisible to the eye. The optical sense organ that undergoes change and that is very limited in its capacity. Brahman can never be grasped by anything elemental and physical. Through Brahman, the eye is able to see. So how can the eye perceive Brahman itself? The mind is bound by the limitations of time, space and causation. How can the Paramatman, who is superior to these and unaffected by them, be limited by them? The terms Amala, Vimala, Nirmala applied to Paramatma connote the same meaning. Amala implying absence of impurity, Nirmala without impurity, and Vimala having all impurity destroyed. So too, achintya and avyavaharya are words applied to Brahman. Achintya is incapable of being conceived. Avyavaharya, without any activity. For activity or work implies the existence of another or others, whereas it is unique, and so unaware of any move towards or away from another. Know that the Jagat, the world, is the Swarupa of the Virat Purusha. That is, the world is the form imposed by Maya on the super soul. Brahman is that which has become, or appears to have become all this, the Antaryami, the inner motive force. In the Nirguna aspect, or formless aspect, it is the primal cause, the Hiranyagarbha, of which creation is the manifestation. Grasping this secret of the universe and its origin and existence, that is jnana.